Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
You're listening to All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. We all know about Lyme disease, but how many people are infected with it at any given year is hard to nail down. According to the CDC, somewhere between 30,000 to 500,000 Americans are infected every year with Lyme disease, a tick-borne illness that can affect bone joints and the brain if left untreated. Yes, that is a wide range for several reasons, including passive reporting systems. But once diagnosed, a patient is given antibiotics, and hopefully that's the end of the story. But some infected with Lyme struggle to recover and describe having chronic Lyme disease. But if you search chronic Lyme disease online, you can easily find yourself on a Reddit thread with headlines like, "Why is chronic Lyme a controversial diagnosis?" That story is covered in a new documentary called The Quiet Epidemic. In the film, we learn that the CDC does not acknowledge the existence of chronic Lyme disease. Many experts agree, including the doctor credited with discovering Lyme in the 70s. Yet there is a community of doctors, scientists, and ordinary folks who say Lyme, chronic Lyme, is very real. People like New York Times columnist Ross Douthat, WNBA player Elena Del Don, and Pulitzer Prize-nominated playwright Sarah Ruhl, who was diagnosed with Lyme only after writing a memoir about her struggle with facial paralysis. And that group includes our next guests as well. Co-directors Winslow Crane Murdoch and Lindsay Keys have spent years working on their documentary, The Quiet Epidemic, which was a 2022 Doc NYC selection. There will be a special screening of the film tonight at the Jacob Burns Film Center in Pleasantville. And I'm joined now by Winslow Crane Murdoch. Hi, Winslow.
Hi there. Thanks for having us.
And Lindsay Keys. Hi, Lindsay.
Hey there.
Listeners, we want you to join this conversation. Have you or any of your family members struggled with Lyme disease? What was your experience like with the medical community? How has Lyme affected your life? Our phone lines are open. 212-433-9692. 212-433-WNYC. Social media is at all of it, WNYC. So for people who have know anything about you and your film, know that you were diagnosed with Lyme disease in 2015. Lindsay, how did that diagnosis change your life? I know it's a broad question.
Well, the diagnosis changed my life in the sense that I finally found out what was happening to me after years of not knowing. Mm. So that was bittersweet because it meant a really long road of expensive and painful therapies, but it also meant that I was finally on the road to feeling better and not just living with these mysterious symptoms that had become extremely debilitating. So it also meant that it led me to Winslow, because at my first appointment, the nurse practitioner asked me if I had a passion, because they found that patients who had a purpose had better outcomes. Hmm. And I thought that was curious, and it ended up being true for me for sure. So in that moment, I had been dancing around this idea of making a documentary for years, but I couldn't find anybody who was willing to tackle this subject with me. But I didn't see any other option at that point. I was sort of backed into a corner. It had become my whole life. And I said, I'm going to make a film about Lyme disease. And the nurse said, "Wow, we have another patient here who's your age, and he's a filmmaker with Lyme disease. Do you want me to connect the two of you?" So I wrote a note and she handed it to Winslow the next day.
Winslow, why did you know this was a project that you wanted to work on? And then when you really started to put your filmmaker hat, aside from doing your personal story, and you put your filmmaker hat on, what did you see as your touchstone, the story you were going to tell?
Sure. Yeah, you know, I think that being diagnosed with Lyme disease is an incredibly disorienting experience. Certainly not with acute Lyme disease if you just get antibiotics and you recover, which a lot of people do. But this story is about the 10 to 20% of people that don't. Mm-hmm. I think for both Lindsay and I, we were very young. We were starting our careers and we ended up having to move home because we were so sick. We ended up in this doctor's office where they literally, you know, I remember on my first appointment, they gave me a handout that said, "Here's why Lyme disease is so controversial." And so having never gone through anything like this, having never been sick before, to end up, it's sort of like the, you know, the Twilight Zone music starts playing and you're like, what is happening? And you're left having to choose who to trust and how to recover. And at that point, you know, for both of us, but for me, at that point, I had been going to doctors for 6-7 months, wow, getting passed around, not getting a diagnosis. And so I knew that it was really sort of the only option I had at that point. From a filmmaking perspective, we met the main characters in the film. Julia Bruzzese and her father, Enrico, are just incredible people. Mm. And they were blessed by Pope Francis when he came to New York in 2015. And they said on live television, we have a clinical diagnosis of Lyme disease, but we're not sure yet. And the doctors that we were seeing reached out to them and offered them free treatment in Albany, New York. And so that's where Lindsay and I met Julian and Rico when we had first started thinking about the film. And their story was just so incredible. Their family's incredible. And so I think that was the first touchstone where we said, okay, this is a story that we can follow. They welcomed us in. They sort of understood the power of media to change narratives right away, which is credit to them. And they invited us in, and we're all very close now, and it's been an incredible experience. So that's how it all began.
Yeah, people in this area might remember the story because Julia is from Brooklyn, who she became ill when she was 11. And we see through her story and her family's story, as you follow them, how she has been received by the medical community, how her family has been received by some of the medical community. I don't want to paint a broad brush. Lindsay, when you think about Julia's journey, what does it reveal about the way people who have chronic Lyme disease have to navigate the medical system?
Yeah, it's just devastating that some of the sickest people alive today are afraid to go to the doctor's office. They're afraid to have to go defend themselves. Doctors often become combative when you mention Lyme disease because they've been taught that it doesn't exist and that patients who believe they have Lyme disease are hypochondriacs. And to see Julia go through what she went through, I mean, she suffered actual abuse at the hands of some doctors. And it's just so sad that people have to see something to believe it. Lyme disease is an invisible illness in many cases. I mean, for Julia, she's lost her ability to walk, but even still, Enrico's fighting with insurance companies because they're saying her wheelchair is medically unnecessary. There are just so many loopholes and hurdles that people have to navigate. And even a healthy person would struggle with that, let alone someone who's struggling physically, emotionally, financially, mentally. This disease hits you on so many levels. And the struggle to be believed is just one of the main issues that people with Lyme face.
Wenzel, let me ask you that question. As I was researching and I went down a couple of Reddit thread rabbit holes, why is the phrase chronic Lyme disease so controversial?
Yeah, well, I think there's a 45-year history there, which is what the film gets into, which is really complicated, and it's why it took us so long to make the film. I think sort of on the level of what Lindsay was just talking about as well, like our system really isn't set up for complexity and for things that we don't already have the answer to, right? And so when you have 15 minutes in a medical office, you're looking at one or two complaints, not, you know, there's doctors in the film that talk about patients with chronic Lyme disease having 30-something complaints. This whole array of symptoms that's affecting all these various systems that is very hard to pin down and can look like so many other things. So I think from a doctor perspective, that's one of the main reasons why it's dismissed, is just because it is very, very complicated. And I think we've seen something similar with long COVID, although long COVID, so many people got it at once that now people are starting to sort of recognize that this could be a problem. But beyond that, you know, I think that there was a push early on when Lyme disease was discovered to really sort of simplify the definition of what this disease could be. And there was all sorts of reasons for that. There was the desire to create a test that was standardized. There was a desire to create a vaccine, which had it been effective would have been great, but it was not. And it was pulled off the market. And so there's a lot of forces that have sort of led us to simplifying the nature and the definition of Lyme disease. And I think from the very beginning, it's just been much broader than that. And the definition and has not allowed for that. And certainly the insurance companies who then enforce that that definition have not allowed for a broader range of treatment, which is one of the reasons why the disease became so controversial, because from the very beginning, you had these doctors that were treating outside of these guidelines who started being attacked by insurance companies for the ways in which they were treating. I think that the reality is that this is a really complicated situation. There's a lot of nuance to it. There's no sort of black and white answers, and there's no real good answers right now for patients. And so I think what we are asking with the film is, how do we ask better questions in the science that we do? And how do we actually have compassion for the people who are suffering? So the questions that we ask when we go to do the science are actually aimed at, how do we better their outcomes? And I think for too long, the fight has been, how do we prove each other wrong, instead of how do we make this better for patients? And so that is our hope. And we featured some scientists in the film who I think are really sort of taking that on and moving in a direction that can actually be really beneficial for patients.
We'll talk about them in just a little bit. I'd love to take some calls. Let's talk to Carlina, calling in from Red Hook. Hi, Carlina. Thank you for calling in.
Yeah, and thank you for this program. So I have chronic Lyme, and it probably started in 2014, but it wasn't diagnosed until around April 2019. And now I'm struggling to get treatment. And my message for New York City is that Medicaid doctors need a Lyme education. I've been to four separate clinics. It was finally diagnosed by a Medicaid doctor because he lives in Long Island, and he's had it and his family's had it, making him Lyme literate. But what I've experienced, I have dubbed doctor-splaining. It's the gender-neutral version of mansplaining, where someone just talks at me. So I've done extensive research on Lyme. I've got family who've had Lyme, yada, yada, yada. And these doctors just, like, they do one blood test, came back negative, you don't have Lyme. Well, you know, look at, like, there's a list of something. I read a study, I posted it in your Twitter feed, of, I don't know what it was, like 80 symptoms. I've got all of them except about seven. And there's no pattern recognition, but they're not listening. And they don't admit their own ignorance. And it's a problem.
Carlina, thank you for calling in. Let's talk to Brad from the Bronx. Hi, Brad. Thanks for calling All of It.
Hi, thank you. First of all, guys, I saw your movie, I think when it in the city a few weeks ago, and it's fantastic. And thank you, thank you, thank you. Excellent piece of work to get out there. I just can't thank you enough. My story is that I have a daughter who suffers from chronic Lyme, and watching Julia's struggle, Julia, the subject of the film, where there's so many parallels with my daughter in terms of finding the right doctor, finding the right treatment, finding the right, you know, when her father pulled out that huge box of medications that don't work anymore, I so related with that, because what we've been through with my daughter, and it affects her neurologically, so we didn't know what was wrong. And you can imagine, you know, with a teenage daughter, what that's like. You don't know what's going on and how it affected her life in almost every aspect. But what we do know is the pills that were supposed to be, you know, psychiatric had no effect or made them worse. So finally, her mother was smart enough to say, test your blood and give it a good test. And boom, there it was. And not just like a good test, like not just your simple Quest or LabCorp, something that was really done by very specific labs in this in the country. But what I've learned about that is, not only do insurance don't really cover that, but like there's so few experts. And they all happen to live in the Northeast. I mean, if you have Lyme in Florida, I don't know what you do. I think you just suffer, because the doctors that, fortunately, that my daughter's seeing, you know, none of them take insurance. None of them are on any kind of network. And it's the costs are exorbitant. But she's getting the help she needs. She's getting there. But it's just very, very slow. So yeah. I guess it's like the previous caller's question about Lyme literacy. What do you think it'll take for the rest of the country to get up to speed, to say this is a problem and this is something that ruins lives?
Brad, thank you for calling in. Yeah, you address that in the film. Let me reintroduce you, folks. This is Winslow Crane Murdoch and Lindsay Keys, co-director of the film The Quiet Epidemic, about chronic Lyme disease. You address that in terms of the amount of the lack of funding for chronic Lyme research. Lindsay, what about Brad's question? What do you think it is going to take for people to become doctors, scientists, average citizens to become more Lyme literate?
Yeah, I think that it's very hard for doctors. In many cases, their hands are just tied. As we said, the insurance companies are very involved, and doctors do not want to risk their medical licenses by practicing, quote unquote, experimental, unproven therapies. So doctors are in a very hard position here. And I understood the previous caller as well, the doctor splaining, that's very real. And yet I just don't know as a doctor what they can, how much they can step out without being penalized. So something that we're doing with the film and with our impact campaign is we're launching a letter writing campaign to Congress, because we actually think that there needs to be an intervention that's outside of the medical community, because this debate has been going on for almost 50 years and it doesn't seem like it's about to end anytime soon, sadly, even with new research coming out and new research funding, which is largely due to the work of Lyme disease activists, by the way, that's relevant. We really want to call on Congress for the oversight of our public health agencies. There have been no improvements in therapeutics or diagnostics in decades. What has the Lyme disease research funding been used for, if not to benefit patients? So now that this new research funding is coming in, we really need Congress to ensure that these dollars benefit patients and fund new scientists who are asking all of the questions that we're asking. How do we get better? How do we prevent other people from going through what we've gone through? And up until now, nearly all of the research funding has gone to the same small group of individuals who have just sustained this debate over whether or not chronic Lyme disease even exists. And we should be way beyond that at this point. And so we really need a political intervention.
And Winslow, Lindsay just mentioned the Impact campaign and activists. So I feel like I do need to ask you this. Because you've both been diagnosed with Lyme disease and you've been in this so long, how did you take into account your own perspective? And how did you think about or talk to each other about, like, are we, you know, are we doing confirmation bias here in the way we're structuring certain parts of the story? Or are we engaging in confirmation bias at any point?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, you know, I think that we talked about that a lot. I think that we ultimately decided that the people with power have had a really powerful powerful voices, and they've been able to tell their story. And that side of the story is easily, you know, as you said, you go online and you Google this, right? All of that information is there. We felt like this was a story that hadn't been told. And so we, of course, were very careful about saying things that we believe to be true that have been verified by other journalists. There's so much incredible work that's been done in this field that we were sort of, you know, standing on the shoulders of many, many people who have already done this work. We wanted to be fair, but we wanted to be real about what we've seen and what our experiences were. And we felt that given the power dynamic that exists right now between those who have the power and those who don't, that it was okay for us to tell the story in the way that we did, and to give all of the voice to the people who are suffering right now. Certainly people might have, I think people can question whether that was the right choice or not. But I think that, as I said, that information exists online, and that's exactly what the whole debate is about. It was important to us to go through the history and to explain why it's so controversial, but to also show what the future may be. And I think the future is doctors like Dr. Neil Spector at Duke University, who's in our film, who was such an incredible open-minded doctor, who approached this in a way of how do we help people, you know, and how do we ask better questions? And that to me is what a true scientist does. And he came in and he said, I don't care what the answer is. I just want to find out what's going on. And in a very short period of time, by taking that more open approach, he was able to make huge strides. And so my hope is that he inspires others to attack this in a similar way.
In the film, the CDC does not recognize chronic Lyme disease as a real illness. On one occasion, a CDC doctor contacted Julia's family, asking them to stop speaking on the issue. We reached out to the CDC for comment. We didn't get one back yet. If we get one back, we'll put it on our website with this this segment. Have either of you heard from the CDC since the film released?
We have not heard from the CDC, no. And in fact, it's quite frustrating, because we as filmmakers, also as patients, and then many of the doctors and scientists who we've met, they want to have a dialogue with the CDC. They want to have a dialogue with the people who deny chronic Lyme disease. They have invited these people to public forums. They've invited them to debates. They've invited them to come to the table and to review the science. And oddly enough, it's the Lyme specialists, who are called quacks, who are very open to debating the science, and the people who are our public health officials, who are responsible for keeping us safe, they're not interested in engaging on the matter. And so that's very frustrating.
Let's talk to Elle from Westchester. Hi, Elle. Thanks for calling All of It.
Hi. I was diagnosed in the early 90s, but it took over a year because I was living in Manhattan. And I went to Lenox Hill Hospital. I was on IV for like 6 months, like at home IV as well. But I really, that was over 30 years ago. And I'm always tired and achy. And one of the things before I go, I just want to say that I never got the bullseye. So a lot of people don't get that. So if they don't get that, they just totally write it off as not being Lyme.
Elle, thank you for calling in. She's talking about the bullseye rash that happens sometimes after a tick bite. I don't want to sum up all of the phones in this way, but the conversations, what we're getting from people, the reaction we're getting from people is that people are symptomatic after years after getting Lyme disease and they're frustrated with the medical establishment. Mm-hmm. That's what almost all of the calls are saying. So, Winsley, when you think about what you'd like this film to accomplish in the micro, what would you like it to accomplish? And then the macro.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I think in the micro, we cared a lot about our characters and the folks who were in it, and we wanted them to see themselves represented and to feel good about the ways in which they put themselves out there and what they're fighting for. And so I think that's been a really beautiful part of this process. Julia and Enrico have gotten to accompany us at many screenings and to see the way in which their story is inspiring people. So that's been a really beautiful part of it. I think on the macro, of course, we have hopes for big change, and we would like to see the medical community reevaluate what's going on. And as Lindsay said, there's also the push to have Congress perhaps step in and be part of that force. I think that we really need to just reapproach this and recognize that it's a more complicated conversation, that we can sort of get over the past history of trying to prove each other wrong about whether this is chronic or not. We know that something has happened to patients. Let's try to figure out what it is. I'm hopeful that long COVID is a new model for the way in which we look at infectious disease and the way in which we look at the ways in which all of these different infectious diseases can cause these sort of long-term, long-lasting, multi-system problems that can look, very strange and hard to diagnose. Maybe that will unlock some things for a lot of these chronic illnesses. And chronic illness in general is on the rise right now in the United States. And so it's about time that we take this on head on.
The name of the film is The Quiet Epidemic. There's a screening tonight at the Jacob Burns Film Center at 7 p.m. I've been speaking with its co-directors, Winslow Crane Murdoch and Lindsay Keys. Thank you so much for sharing your film with us today.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thanks so much.
There's more All of It on the way.